Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to this week's episode of Vibe with Five. It's a special one. Usually, I don't get excited to see them guys from the other side of North London, but this one, we have to pay homage, man. A talented centre-back. People always say you're one of the best that they've come up against. And Rio's always got fantastic things to say about you. And, you know, usually, Rio, you got that swag, you know what I mean? But when it comes to Mr. Lenny King, he's always like, bad player. Bad player, I just want to welcome you to Vibe with Five, Mr. Ledley King.
How you doing?
I'm good. Thanks for having me, man.
You know he's a mad Arsenal fan. Like he's never spoke politely about you ever.
He said some nice words. So.
What can I say? Him and Jermaine Defoe. Him and Jermaine Defoe.
The only ones. Oh, Genius don't get let off then, no?
Genius. I liked him at Newcastle. For me, Genius is like.
Bro, you never said that to him when you see him in Qatar that time. You was all over him.
Just a little bit.
Lennon.
You was all over as well.
Yeah, I like Lennon. I think Lennon.
So he's gone from no Spurs players to about 15 Spurs players.
But let's be real, that era where they all. Almost, you know, did something.
The interview's not even starting, you're giving it almost.
Almost. That era was the one.
You winning stuff in black and white, Joe. What are you talking about?
No. Trust me, man. That era was the one.
20 years ago.
Guys, let's get this rolling, man. Rio, I'll let you kick on.
Led, man, thanks for coming.
Yeah, pleasure, thanks.
No, you know, it's mad. I've been, we always talk about centre-halves and everyone always says to me, and I always say the most talented centre-half, I think, is you. And the way the game came so easily to you, like, was that natural? And take us back to when you were young. Was this something you worked on, or did you watch anybody, or was it just like, this is deadly?
From a young age, I definitely, what I'll say is that I was a defender on my Sunday league team, Senrab.
One of the best Sunday teams ever.
Five of us that went on to play in the Premier League. Myself, John Terry, J. Lloyd Samuel, Bobby Zamora, Paul Konchesky.
Wow.
Five of us from 8 or 9 year olds.
Best five-a-side team ever. Met police from, winners, must have been.
From one.
John Terry's midfield, by the way.
Was it?
Small midfielder.
What?
All the same age group, but the same team.
Yeah, same age group.
So you were centre half, John Terry was midfield.
Midfield.
Bobby was up front, left back Konchesky. Or right
Konchesky
back.
Was left winger.
Left back J Lloyd.
J Lloyd was left winger.
What?
Paul Konchesky was on the bench sometimes, I think.
Right.
it was that competitive. But yeah, no. So, but from an early age, when I was a defender, I liked the other side of the game. Do you know what I mean? I liked the skills. I liked the flair players. So from an early age, I decided the type of player that I wanted to be was not just going to be a stopper.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? I didn't enjoy just stopping people. I wanted to take the ball off someone and then go past them and then find a pass.
Hmm.
That's what I had to get something out of the game. Yeah, do you know what I mean? I wanted to get my joy.
You weren't getting joy out of clean sheets.
Nah.
As
you get older, yes. Yeah. But at a young age, was more about the game and doing things in the game that give
highlight
you that,
reel, isn't
yeah.
it?
I've done my research. You was talking R9. That was your guy.
R9 was my man.
Is
that
it?
Was,
what yeah. over Zidane, over Ronaldinho, everyone?
Yeah. From the age of maybe 14, like, watched every game that he played in.
R9?
Yeah, every game that he played in. To the point where I thought that if I ever played against him, it would be crazy because I feel like I know him so well. I feel like I know him so well.
You met him before,
I used to watch everything. I used to try and play like him when I was playing as a defender. I was coming through, I was making faces like buck teeth. And stuff like that, dribbling on the ball, quick feet. I was doing in the youth team, I was doing all that stuff, man. So yeah, that was kind of like, that was my guy.
You was a midfielder though in the Tottenham youth team.
No. I was a defender.
But when you had your debut, where were you playing?
My debut coming at left back.
Oh, okay.
But then George Graham was my manager at the time.
Yeah.
He saw me as a midfielder, not a defender.
Okay. Mm.
So then he put me into midfield. So yeah, when I was first playing in the first team, I was playing midfield.
I remember you playing midfield for England.
Yeah, as well. Yeah.
Against Argentina. That's why I said it. I knew his reaction would be like that.
Wait, World Cup?
No. We went to Switzerland or somewhere like that and played in Switzerland. We played Argentina, like a showpiece game, yeah?
Yeah.
And I don't know. I weren't really thinking like,
Playing in that game.
I played behind you. I played centre half.
It's funny, me and you never, I don't think we ever played together.
Not properly, no.
That was the question I had for you, is if you ever played as a partner.
No, it's partners.
But the reason why I said you played with Phil, you played for England. You tell us what happened that day.
Who's manager here now?
Sven.
Yeah, still Sven. That was the game, really, when I said to myself, no more midfield. No. That's when I realised it's different. There's different levels to be in the midfield.
Wait, listen to him.
Who's in midfield? Is Ortega, Cambiasso?
No, I can't remember anyone else. I just remember Raquelme. That's all I remember. Raquelme. Yeah, and I played in midfield. I played against Man U in midfield. I played against Scholesy. I played against Roy Keane. But this game felt different. Yeah. he was just, and we know what Scholes is like, how clever he is. Yeah. Can't get the ball off him, can you? Mm. You know what I mean? Plays it off first time. You know, when you stand off him, finds his passes. Raquelme was similar in that respect that I don't think I laid a glove on him the whole game. Mm. I think I played about 80 minutes of the game. Couldn't get near him. Get too close to him, put pressure on him, he falls over, gets a free kick. Yeah, he's picking up positions all over the pitch. I didn't know where I was
taking
looking around.
You
thinking,
everywhere.
Where am I, should I be over here? Mm. You know, I didn't know midfield. I was just kind of doing a job in there. And that's when I realised, you know what? I'm going back to the back. I want to go back to the back where I feel like, so comfortable.
Do you remember at halftime when I went to come in. I said, Ledley, get close to Raquelme, man. What's going on? I remember your face here. You were looking down, you went, I can't, man. And I just stopped myself laughing in the change room because I thought, rah, this guy must be bad. Yeah. If he's saying that, he must be bad.
It was different. Centre-half never felt different to me, do you know what I mean? You're playing against top players, but you know your stuff yourself, do you know what I mean? You always feel like, if I play well, I'm cool.
Did you always feel that? Did you always think, if I'm on my game, no one can trouble me? Yeah. Is that what you felt like?
I don't say no one can trouble me, because you can still play well and people will still, you know, give you some trouble at times. But yeah, confident enough to know that if I played well, it'd be fine. Everything would be fine. Mm. Always felt kind of quick enough, running both ways on the turn.
Do you think that's normal?
No.
I could
bring 95, 98, 99% of centre-halves here and they would say opposite to that.
You played... So I heard you talk about R9, for example. You played against him. Mm. I didn't play against Messi. Mm. I think these players would have made me feel differently. Like, bad night's sleep, worrying a little bit, you know? 100%. But at the same time, in the back of my head, thinking that if I do my thing, I'll be all right. Henri was the best striker for me in the Premier League.
Was he?
Yeah, for me.
Go on, why?
You know, drifts all over the pitch. Love that out on the left wing. You can't go out there. When he comes inside, gets ahead of steam, he's dribbling. That's a problem for you. Mm. Do you know what I mean? Could run in behind you, skillful, strong. He had everything. He was the one player, the one striker that, you know, I felt that could embarrass me if I have an off day. Mm. Other than that, I didn't really feel like that.
Because like with Rooney, like you weren't, Van Nistelrooy, no. Rooney, Ronaldo, like you weren't feeling that.
Ronaldo was a winger. Mm. He was more of a winger, so a bit different. Rooney, quality, just like Berbatov, quality, but not in the same embarrassing way. Van Nistelrooy, I felt like he was more of a box player. Mm. I didn't fear him outside the box at all. Mm. Felt like he comes alive in the box.
So them, like, if you put that Mbappe types, like you want, you know, that can run you,
the run and
do
skill,
you with
yes,
skill
yes,
as well,
yes,
the ones
yes,
that
yes,
you're
they're,
more
they're
fearful.
And I suppose little guys as well was always a little bit the one I didn't really like that much.
Defoe.
Like Jermaine Sharp. Mm. Again, that one can kind of embarrass you because they turn so quick.
Mm. Michael Owen.
Owen was
pump Michael Owen.
Not. I didn't really feel it in terms of footwork. Just in terms of getting behind you. Mm. I mean, it was getting behind you. But he was young. I was quite young. Didn't play against him too many times when he was like rapid. When he was rapid. Bellamy was another one. He was a little bit like that, like a bit like Owen in terms of like he could rinse you.
Yeah.
You know.
Is that what you guys fear? Because that's the common theme here. Like, I want to bring it back shortly to
pace,
when you actually started.
Pace kills. Pace kills.
Someone like a Drogba that's going to go physical up against
didn't,
you.
Didn't
not
mind
bothered,
it. I didn't mind. Didn't mind.
It's the ones that are going to embarrass you. This is what I'm saying. Yeah. It's all
skin
about
you.
Pride.
Skin you.
It's we're living in a time where there weren't Instagram and social media, where it's even worse. Like, imagine playing the stress now because you know you're a meme. It's going to live there for a long time. Whereas us, imagine you mismatched it a day, you didn't see it. Mm. Getting rinsed. Yeah. And it's not the life, there's so much more football to see now. But I was the same. I was more on edge.
Were you ever nervous? Like in games? No, before games, should I say.
Yeah, a little bit. I think the big games, not always. Like some of the big games, I'd get nervous. I think it was a good nerve, though. Yeah, yeah. If I wasn't nervous, then I weren't really maybe up enough for it. Do you know what I mean?
I was always nervous.
Was you?
Like before a game, because I was scared of that feeling that could happen.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I think I was more that.
Unknown.
I was more, I don't know if I was nervous. I was more like, please don't get embarrassed today. You can't get embarrassed today.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's the unknown. Like, if at the same time, if I do my job, I'll be fine. But before the game, it's unknown. You have to wait until you get on the pitch for it to happen.
That's incredible to think, because to a lot of people, you guys are some of the best that have ever done it. You know, so for me, I think that's incredible. I want to bring it back a little bit. So obviously, you signed to Tottenham like when you were. Well, how old was you exactly?
14.
Yeah, and you obviously, like, there was a few of your mates. I've done quite a bit of research listening. Shout out to the guys on the Judy podcast. That was a really good one, by the way. And literally, you know, you had a few mates that you played football with, and then they just went off and they did their own thing. Mm. When did you realise, this football thing, I'm actually going to make it, you know?
I'll say probably about 11.
Raw.
But
hold on a minute. Whoa.
But if you ask any 6-year-old or 7-year-old now, they think they're gonna make it.
No, but genuinely, like, did you go at 11? Like,
it's naiveness.
I'm better than all these men.
I didn't really know. I just thought I knew.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was confident.
When did you really know?
But without really knowing, I'd say the first time I had a feeling was when I went to secondary school, and all of a sudden you're playing with kids
older than you,
4 years older than you and stuff like that. And you realise you're the best in the school. So then you realise that...
Wait, okay, were you best in year seven?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then you realise...
Right, I weren't.
But then you realise...
I was one of, but I weren't the best.
Then you realise, okay, so I am good. You know, everyone's gaslighting you up and that. That's in the school. You get that kind of feeling.
Yeah.
And then probably when I walked in the door at Tottenham and was the best player by far, probably at 14.
Wow. Ross, by
in the
far,
youth
you
team.
Know.
In the youth team.
Did they play the up a few ages?
You're 14 playing youth team and you're the best
player.
No, by
not
far.
Youth. Sorry, not youth team.
Schoolboys.
But when I walked into the building,
yeah,
you know, you're coming into a big football club and
it was crashy there them times.
Yeah, crashy. Yeah. I take back by far, but yeah. No, but then you start to, you know, like, and then you can see that the coaches, they're supporting you, they're giving you everything you need to kind of go on and do well. And then I suppose England, under 16s. But before that, I wanted to be the best player in the world. That was in my head. I wanted to be the best player in the world. But then when I went to England.
England what?
Under 16s.
Mm-hmm.
And then who played against there? Some teams like Spain, and I realised there's some number 10s around. Yeah. That's not me.
Who was there? Who was the names? Who was the names? Remember, on your England team?
I think I might have played against in my England team. My England, under 16s, hardly anyone really come through.
Wow.
Under 16s. There's people like Lee Canaville.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You remember him. I think Jeffers was there.
If you're playing for England at 16s, you've
practically
should
made it.
Make the pressure, shouldn't you, really?
Yeah.
A lot didn't. But that's when I realised, okay, I'm not going to be the best player in the world, because I was only used to what was around me at the time. But then when you took it.
Was you playing midfield then, or defence?
I was defender. I was always a defender.
How was Crouchy them times? Could you have Crouchy seen a career? Could you have seen Crouchy? Did you think Crouchy would have a top career like he had?
I was a big fan of Crouchy's.
Mm.
I was a big fan of his. Like, as I said, I like the nice things in the game, and Crouchy was like that as well.
Mm. You should take him to your estate or something, and play football in your estate.
Yeah, I used to take him. We had a cage. I had a cage where I grew up. So, but Crouchy loved all the things that the big man wasn't supposed to love.
Like,
you know,
skills, doing
nice things. So we were the same.
Yeah.
I was the defending version. He was the attacking version. Weakest points for both of us were heading.
No way.
It's our heading. We were good with the ball.
Crouchy.
Yeah, Crouchy. Crouchy.
You ever seen him jump?
He don't jump.
But even at that age,
he kind of falls.
Yeah, because you know what?
His head stays the same place.
When you're young, you don't hit the ball that much.
Mm. Especially in the best team.
Back then, you didn't really train at it either. It's something that for most people have to develop.
Mm.
And then that was probably my weakest point. Crouchy's weakest point. Everyone expects him to be so good in the air, so dominant. And really, I think that's why he had to leave, because what everyone thought he should be, he wasn't there yet.
Mm.
But he had so much more.
Okay.
And once he developed the heading part, then he was able to kind of come back, and he had a great career in the end.
Mm. So you see those number 10s that are running rings around you, do you remember...
I'm not going to say there was running rings around me, but you know when you see a player that just moves different. They're small, they're silky, they're different. So that's when I thought to myself, I want to be the best defender in the world. Before, I wanted to be the best player in the world. But again, that's naive, young, just knew what I knew around me, just playing in England and the players I play against in England. When I played for England, I realised, okay.
When you were coming through at Spurs, how important or what did he have any importance? Was Sol Campbell for you?
Sol was
important. Being a young black centre-back as well.
Big because, I grew up in Bow in East London, and even at the time then when I was coming through, you think nothing good happens to people from your area. I didn't have any reference of anyone that had been a real success. When I'm 15, 16. So I remember realising Sol was from Stratford, which was round the corner. And it was quite simple. Like, I thought, if Sol can do it, then I can do it. Mm. Simple message. Because I think at times we feel that things, where we grow up holds us back. We're a product of our environment. But something as simple as seeing Sol, being such an important first team player, made me think I can do it as well.
So you said that you decided that you wanted to be the best centre-back, the best defender. Obviously, you've then gone on to have a good career. What were you doing now to make yourself the best defender?
I had to probably learn to the defensive side of the game more, but I think I was confident that that was going to come. Because I was always competitive, in terms of didn't like anyone getting past me, even at a young age. I had that competitive spirit. But as a young defender, there's still things to learn. You come in and you make mistakes, you make errors, your positioning is not right. It's just part of the game, part of learning the game.
Who's helping you out with that, like coaches and stuff?
I think a lot of it you have to learn yourself by playing, just by playing. When you're playing, every level that you go up to, it gets harder and there's more challenges. And you might make a mistake or two, and then you finally adjust, learn from it, and improve. So it was just about staying on the path. When I was young, as I say, I worked on my left, my right.
There's two footers, Yeah. Do you know what foot you are?
Yeah, of course I do. But
what foot?
I was right-footed, but done everything with my left, better than my right, apart from kicking.
No, bro, madness. What? I used to see things in training, I used to do mad drags and stuff like that. I used to go to... Do you see that? I used to say to people that, is he... what foot is he, man? I don't know, man.
I had like sticky feet, didn't I?
Yeah, the ball would go and he'd just drag it back here, go out the other way.
Long foot as well.
Yeah, foot was long, bro. Some mad snake foot.
Wow.
What an asset in today's game.
Yeah. Mate. Yeah.
So press resistant to...
Yeah.
But the defending part, you have to kind of...
Show him that way.
You have to learn it. Because I wasn't a natural defender. I was more of a natural player. So I had to learn to be a better defender.
Did you have to learn to love defending? I think there's a lot of similarities between me and you, Lev.
I think so.
I never appreciated defending and stuff, the dirty stuff.
Until what age, though?
Till I got to probably first team. Because probably till I was about 20, I reckon when I went to Leeds. Because before then, all I was thinking about was like letters. I was thinking, how can I bend up the striker? How can I do a skill pass and make him look stupid? Like my game, I referenced a good performance on how I'd done 1v1 with the ball against the forward. Yeah. That's all I thought about. If we won 1-0 and I didn't have much of the ball, I used to think, I've been rubbish. We won the game, good 3 points, but I ain't done nothing. Like, what have I done?
No, I still took pride in, I loved the battles. Do you know what I mean? So I loved, if there was a striker, I didn't want him to get the best of me. Didn't want him to get the best of me. But I wasn't like diehard defender at that age. You know what I mean? Like, and probably didn't appreciate, when you make a really good block or when you really put your head on something.
Yeah, it's true.
But as you get old, I got older, I started to want to get in the way of things. I wanted, if I see my centre half partner get a block, I want the next two. Do you know what I mean? I'm thinking that he's looking better than me. I need to get the next two blocks.
Is that all internal, or does you quite often in a stadium see the fans go mad for a last ditch tackle or a header. Does the fan base sort of feed into that a little bit? Mm. You want to hear the cheer for a big smash? Or
yeah, yeah. Ego, isn't it? It's pride.
Yeah, I think that is it. You want
him to like you, isn't it?
A little gasp or that little that cheer. Yeah, yeah. I think it's that. I think we play for a lot of that. Mm. That appreciation from the crowd.
Maybe don't get that when you're younger because there's no one there cheering for the big tackles and stuff. Maybe a coach on the sideline gives you a little golf clap, maybe.
Yeah, it's true.
But I was very much like me 1v1 against the striker. I know the striker I'm playing against this week. So as long as he don't score, I was really happy. Mm-hmm. Like that individual personal pride on performance in that sense. But if we won 5-4 and my striker didn't score, I've had a great game. At that age.
At a young age. You're not thinking too much about
the bigger picture. And then all of a sudden, we get a bit older and you think, hold on a minute, I just want clean sheets.
Like 5-4 and now like you're vexed. Yeah. You know what I mean? We conceded 4 goals.
You can't see a good performance in a 5-4 game.
As a defender.
Are there any particular managers, do you reckon, that kind of like, I know you said you improved a lot by playing games and practicing, but are there any particular managers that kind of instilled some of that tactical awareness in you?
Not really. Not.
I mean, you've got some big
man. I suppose George Graham was my first manager, and he was defensive-minded. So we used to work on defensive drills back then.
Glenn Hoddle?
No, Glenn was like, play. He encouraged me to play. Like, that's what I loved. You know, I was playing. We used to play 3 centre-halves under Glenn. I was left-sided centre-half. Honestly, there was times where I'm at the byline crossing balls in on my left. But I loved it. Do you know what I mean? It was all free flowing, and I loved playing under Glenn. I didn't actually play in a back four until I was 23.
Bruh.
23, and the first, I think it was, played a friendly against Portugal before the Euros, and then played the game in the Euros against France. Right. That was the start of me playing as a back four. That was the start.
Well, there's a lot of similarity, you know. West Ham, I played over 3-3 at the back as well.
Did you play central?
Centre of the three, yeah. Central. And then I got in with England, played right at the three.
Okay.
Like, and then it wasn't until I went to Leeds at 21 that I played in the four. They changed the formation for me to play in that team. They played 5 at the back the first game, got beat 3-1.
You two, right, in a three, who is your third choice? Because you two are very similar. I think you need someone in the middle. Maybe someone that wants to get their head on it a bit more. If he was playing as a free,
for England?
Just whoever.
Do you think we could have played in the free for England? Do you think the system, like with the players we had?
I think we
could have got the free in midfield as well.
I think we were perfect.
Yeah?
Yeah.
But the only problem is the wing backs.
Yeah, but you could have played Beck's right wing back.
You can do that.
You could have played Ashley left wing back. Mm-hmm. Like, I really thought we could have played a 3-5-2. Like, I thought we had the players perfect for it, but I don't know. Sven was very rigid.
Who's the third one?
You got to think as well. Like, we had the depth of centre backs was a madness of England. Like, you had Ledley, me, JT, Sol. Martin Keown was still hanging about.
Ugo
Ekin was a bit before.
Woodgate was a little bit. Jonathan Woodgate, another one.
Bad player.
Yeah, Woodgate.
That's six there. Jamie Carragher. Backing up the backups.
Yeah.
But it was like, who's the third one? I don't know. It depends what era.
I think it has to be Terry.
Yeah. But it depends if we ever want to play central or on the right.
Yeah,
Who would you prefer to play?
Central. I think I could have played right. JT would really want to play.
Yeah, he would want to play in the middle.
Would you have sacrificed yourself?
Yeah, I think you have to. I think that's part of the football. You got to give a bit sometimes. That's going to be more beneficial for the team.
Yeah, but you've got the ability to be able to play on the right.
Yeah, and especially when I was younger, I would like to get up the pitch. Yeah. So I would have been good on the right there. Yeah. JT centre, Ledley on the left. Sol centre would have been all right as well.
Oh, yeah.
Ledley centre, Sol left.
That's mad.
I didn't think I liked centre.
No?
No.
With Sol, the pace,
what's the difference?
Sol, yeah.
Because I think the wider Sol, one surely gets
with Sol,
a bit
you need
more.
To. I think you need to. I think Sol needs to be in the duel.
Yeah, he needs to be fighting someone.
I don't think he can sit and watch and.
Yeah, no, no. He's going to the battle.
He could sprint and cover and do that, but I think he's more of the duel.
Yeah. Not as much the reader, probably.
Yeah.
What'd you say there?
Who's our current defenders in today's football? England.
So let's go to that. And that's a good point because we always talk about this, lad.
Yeah.
In terms of when you've coached at Spurs, and we'll get onto that in a minute, but like, what do you see the big differences between like?
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
We just spoke about a number of centre-backs there, the depth that we had in our time. What's the difference between the defenders then to now that you've seen?
I think there's different requirements now. I think the game's changed a lot in the Premier League. I think formations mean that I feel like players can get pulled about. You know, they've got more decisions to make defensively at times, just because of the positions that are popping up on the pitch for the opposition. On the ball, they have to use the ball well. Mm. You have to. You know, I can't even imagine getting the ball in the 6-yard box. That's something that we never really...
No, never asked to do that.
Never had to do that. Of course, I'm sure we can get used to it if we train that way.
But, yeah, it would have been.
Yeah. But with that, you have to have options.
Yeah.
The problem is, when I was coached, and maybe Rio the same, is that we never had options of play. It was just get the ball from the back and see, play what you see. If someone come towards you, then you might give it to them, you might not. Now, you know, they train on these things. They train on playing out from the back. You know, if he comes, he can give it back to you. If not, he can go there. If, you know, then there's this option. There's that. We didn't have that so much.
It was, I don't remember doing a session playing out from the back.
Wow.
I can't remember a session playing out from the back, like setting up a phase of play from the goalkeeper. Yeah. Restarts like that, never. Yeah. Well, now I'm sure they do a whole session just on that.
There's playing from the goal kicks, and then there's actually there's phases through the pitches as well, like a little bit further on. There's another phase, you know, where sometimes the midfielder comes in, you know, the fullback pushes on, or sometimes now they're going in midfield. So there's different rotations for different actual phases of the pitch.
Sorry. Didn't answer it. He's a politician.
Sorry.
Yeah. Is it better defenders better now or the better then?
They do different things better now. I can't say they're better now because of the defenders we just named.
Mm. We're talking about straight defending.
They're also not playing up against the same amount of strikers.
Mm. Yeah, and plus we used to have to play against two strikers a lot of times.
2v2.
Yeah, so everything's changed a little bit. But as I said, it's different because I do see that there are problems now for defenders in terms of players are just popping up in different positions.
They're the questions I used to hate.
What's that?
I hated that.
Can you go?
Do I go in or do I stay? Do I stay like the okie-cokie? Because if you go and you leave space...
But there's the ones where you go and you know you're late. You know you shouldn't be going.
The voice in your head's going, no.
I mean, that's a product of to me, it feels like teams now are 11 central midfielders. There's no specialists anymore. You're not really seeing specialist defenders. You're not really seeing a lot of it. And I feel that's the negative. I don't think there's been too many negatives of the technical sort of schooling that people get at academies. But I feel like the generalisation of players means that you don't really have those out-and-out specialists that you used to have anymore.
Maybe. I think if you look at the strikers, for example, it's different now. You know, like we said, used to be two strikers, used to be wingers. Now it's like, you know, the wide forwards, one striker who has to do a bit of everything now, don't he? The number nine. You know, he has to score goals, but he has to link play up at times and hold the ball up and do a bit of everything. So roles have definitely changed. But I think maybe we've just been behind in England a little bit more. I think some of the other countries might have been doing some of this stuff before. Mm. I think we've just kind of adapted because of the foreign influences in this country now that we're changing it up.
Do you think you should have played for England more?
I should have had a chance was when it was the Euros and I started the France game, done well in the game. We lost 2-1.
2004.
Yeah. So that was my third cap. Yeah. That was only my third cap at the time. But I remember there was players already disillusioned.
Yeah, yeah.
About being in the squad and not really getting chances. But I didn't really believe that. And then I played the France game. And then straight after the game, I remember hearing something about a poll saying, should I play the next game? It was like 99%, yeah.
Mm.
And then I was out for the next game.
Who come in and played?
JT come in. And I wouldn't mind if you got someone who's really experienced at the time coming back into their spot.
Mm.
But I think JT at that time had 2 more caps than me. So I thought, you know, maybe at that point that should have been mine to kind of lose.
Mm.
You know what I mean? So that was kind of when I thought to myself, you know what, it's going to be difficult for me to actually play at centre-half for England.
What's it like when you're going into a squad like, because I remember Carrick was like that. Yeah. Michael Carrick, did you speak to anyone like Carrick who's going through similar situations?
No.
What's it like for you to go to a squad knowing that I ain't really going to play?
I'll tell you what I got lucky was that I ended up playing in midfield.
Mm.
So that became the next kind of position where I kind of started playing games. So as I said, I think I was 23 at the time of the Euros. By 25, 26, I'd already stopped playing for England.
Wow.
Really. So.
What do you mean? Just stopped getting picked?
No. My knee.
Your knee?
Knee, knackered. So in that spell, I played some games in midfield. So although I didn't get in my favourite position, I was still kind of in and amongst it.
Yeah.
Still getting game time. So I still felt like I had a chance to kind of be involved when I went with England.
You were made captain in 2005, Spurs.
Okay, maybe.
Yeah, 2005. Yeah. I've been doing my stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
When you look at your leadership, speaking to other people, even people that we've had on the show, they always said you had a different way of speaking to people. Mm. Even now when you're talking, you know, meticulous explanations, where did you develop that style? Because a lot of your era, it was straight, what's happening? You know, real aggressive, you know, the keys. How come you were so different? What's that about?
I think you just got to be yourself. I think the first captain I had was Teddy Sheringham.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Sol was captain. He left. I think Teddy come back after that and was captain. And then Jamie Redknapp come to the club for a little while. He was captain. I was kind of like the second captain. Then I kind of took over from that. So obviously you take bits and pieces from different people, but at the same time, I thought it was important to be myself. You know, I'm not going to start changing and start being a different person now that I'm the captain. I wasn't one of them people that kind of, I understood honest mistakes on the pitch. I think they can happen to anyone. So that was never a problem to me, but if someone was taking the piss playing, you know, that's when you give it to them. But I wasn't one of them people that wanted to be seen with my arms doing this and shouting like that. Do you know what I mean? I didn't, you know, I kind of would find a way to talk to my teammate.
Mm.
It's funny because we've got a clip here that I want to play from Aaron Lennon. Mm. And, you know, he's someone that he strikes me for. He would need to be spoken to in a particular way. He doesn't mind someone speaking to him straight up, but there's times. And I thought this clip was a real good testimony of your leadership skills and your defending.
Was it as a captain, as a player?
Honestly, as a player, honestly, like really honestly, my saying because you're really used to the best for me as the two best I've ever played with. That's and Ledley. Obviously, when I first went there, he'd had I think 1 knee surgery, but he was still training every week.
Yeah.
And honestly, I've never seen a player do what he could do. Like he'll pull it out the sky, so the goalkeeper kicked it, and he controlled it on his opposite foot, on his left foot, and just pluck it, and just drop it dead. I said, Led, how can you control it on your left foot, like your right footed? And he just like, I feel more comfortable that way. And he just dribble out on his left side, play. But he never fouled people. Mm. He never had to. But honestly, like I said, he was ridiculous. And also captain, he was one of them, like, he never screamed and shout. But if he needed to, sometimes, like I said, with me, like I would get frustrated when I was younger if I was like, even if I wasn't getting service, and I was like half time, I could be like just kicking off, but my head would go down type thing. Mm. And he would come and just sit and have a couple of words, quiet words. Mm. And that's all he did. He'd just do that. He'd just pick people and have quiet words rather than screaming and shouting type captain. But he was like I said, like used to use the two best centre backs I've ever played.
Wow,
that's
nice. Yeah.
That is. How's nice. It feel? How's it feel?
Listen, it's, like Aaron. Do you know what? It's actually sending little chills down my honestly, Azza was a great guy. But what I will say is that because I did that small window before I was injured of kind of being the captain before I'm taken off the training pitch, it made it difficult. So all of a sudden, you become a bit more selfish. But also, you want to stay away. So when you don't play, when you're injured, you're kind of embarrassed, aren't you, to be around the team? So I was doing my own thing. They were training. I was going in the gym.
What would a normal week be like with you training wise? So Monday, then you got a game Saturday. What would your week be like?
Monday. So coming off the back of the Saturday, my knee would just blow up. So throughout the week,
it was a cartilage issue, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I had no cartilage in my knee, but I had something called microfracture surgery as well, and it was just never the same. So I'd be in the gym all week, strengthening my muscles, doing some swimming. Nothing, no cardio, really. I say swimming. I couldn't even really swim.
Floating, just floating.
I was just stretching in the water, and you know what I mean, getting movements. And sometimes on a Friday, I'd go out and my knee still felt terrible, and I'd just walk in. Some days I'd train on Friday, and then Saturday come. I'd play because I used to start really. I didn't want to be on anti-inflams the whole time, so I used to start taking them towards the end of the week more. And I knew kind of Thursday, Friday, and then a couple in the morning on a Saturday.
Wow,
that was kind of get me to the point where I could get enough movement in my knee that okay, I can play.
Do you hear what he's saying, bruv? This is that is a madness. Like yeah, no cardio. If I didn't do no movements and running during a week, I was in panic stations.
Yeah.
I needed to be ready to train. I don't know how you done that.
I had to pretend that fitness didn't matter. I had to say to myself, it's not athletics. This is a game of football and I had to play football. And then you become a bit more clever. You become, you know what I mean? You don't, because before when I had my legs, I'd want to get involved a little bit more. Now I'm not, you know, sometimes I'm not even going up for corners. Sometimes I'm just staying back, just doing my defensive role, pulling people around, stopping you from running at times, making people, you know, like all the things. I started playing offside for fun. Like I wanted to control the line. I used to say to my defenders, stay one step ahead of me. I want to control the back by myself so that when I'm stepping up, when I'm with the striker and I step up, I ain't got to worry about you or you. I know that I'm in control of it. And I used to do that with a striker. I used to always be just stepping up on things. I didn't want to run. I didn't want to, you know what I mean? Or I'd be pretending to step up, and all these little things. You just adapt it. You just do what you can do.
Mad IQ. That's mad IQ. Yeah.
Was you in pain then during games?
It wasn't pain. It's discomfort, restriction.
You couldn't put off a sprint.
I can't bend my leg fully back. So obviously I couldn't sprint fully. I'd drag my knee. If I'd done a side tackle when my knee kind of was underneath me, that would jam it up for a while.
You'd know that'd be swelling after the game.
Yeah. That was a problem.
I used to say with England, we used to train. We'd go out and he'd be in the gym. And I used to walk out sometimes to go, where's Ledley, man? I didn't know the full extent of his injury.
He sounded like a troublemaker.
The biggest problem was muscle injuries. So I played 3 or 4 games. And like during this time, I wrote England off because I just wanted to concentrate on Tottenham, playing as many games as I could. But I played 3 or 4 games and then England would call me up. I'd go to England with my big swollen knee to say, look, what can I do? Do you know what I mean? I'm not going to be able to train. I'm not going to be able to do anything. So then they'd send me home. Play 3 or 4 games again, something else growing. Recover from that. As soon as I recovered, I was back playing again. And that was it for 5 years. Kept breaking down with muscle injuries. But before 2010, went on a good run of games, and Capello's come to me and said, "Can you go?" And for the first time, I thought, you know what, I think I can do it. I wouldn't have put myself in that position if I didn't believe I could. I thought, you know what, I can do it. I played 2 warm-up games. Was fine. And then 5 minutes into the first game against USA, I felt my groin. That was the end. That was the end of the
World Cup, innit?
Yeah.
I remember. So, first of all, I've got a couple of questions here. First of all, who are you playing ahead of when you're not training? Who are the centre-backs? And secondly, why are you putting up like that? Like, is it because you're not used to the intensity, or because, you know, we had Mikel come on, Mikel from Chelsea, and he was saying that as soon as Eden Hazard said to himself at Real Madrid, I'm actually going to try now. You know, it's different from you, obviously. He was, I'm actually going to try now. He said he was just getting injuries left, right and centre because the intensity, he wasn't used to it. Is that a similar situation with you, or am I just...
Yeah, I think, you know, when you spend a long time out, it happens to a lot of people, when they're out for a long period of time, they come back and it's just, their body's just weakened, you know, deconditioned or whatever. For me, yeah, of course, I couldn't replicate sprinting throughout the week, jumping, twisting, turning. I couldn't replicate any of that. Now they have different machines at the training ground. They've got underwater treadmill. You can take the load off and still be able to run and get that running kind of movement. I couldn't do that. So that was a big problem.
This is like, if I can give you that analogy and you tell me if it's right or wrong, that's like you going into a snooker club now and just picking up a cue and going into competition immediately, no warm-up. No little warm-up strokes. Going tennis at Wimbledon and saying, I'm going to play first round of Wimbledon and having no training, no warm-up ball.
I think it's different because you've got teammates, but I understand on the kind of the individual level, you still got to do your thing, you know? But yeah, it's only when you come out that you realise, you
know, how enormous it was.
It was crazy. Yeah. At the time, you're just surviving.
But you weren't even just putting in average performances.
Yeah.
There was some serious performances. They were like, you know, we don't train all week.
But yeah, to be 4 years in and still get picked to go to the World Cup, 4 years into not training, it's kind of crazy. But
play on a Saturday, rest up, see you next week.
Did you ever say to strikers, like, I don't know if he's the type to go to a striker, like, bro, you know I don't train, innit? You know I don't train. And I'm taking the ball for you all the time.
You used to make some noises when he's training. He used to do that. All the time. I was silent.
Yeah, he was quiet.
1 minute I'm going, the next minute someone's twisting me. I didn't want that. You know what I mean? Or scoring a goal or something. So I'm keeping quiet.
That's the difference between you two as captains. You're like, let me go and have a little quiet word with you. I don't think you did, yeah, because I know you were screaming at everybody on the pitch all the time.
Yeah, I was loud, innit?
Yeah.
I was loud. I couldn't help it.
Yeah.
But you need contrast of characters, innit?
Like, Kino was the other side to me.
Mm.
You know, it was that one who would shout at people and run at people.
Mm.
So we had a nice kind of nice balance. Yeah.
So how are those other players feeling? Because
the ones who's getting
think about it. Yeah.
Who is that, by the way?
Who is that? Who are those?
Gardner players? And people like that.
I don't know. I think Gardner was there at a point. Dawson, Cabal, Bessong.
They can't chat to Ledley, man. These men have they're blessed to be Gallas playing next to him.
There was quite a few, but I always did feel, bad at times.
Because, did you?
Yeah.
Never.
I did, because literally I could have been out for like, just say a month or whatever, recovering from another muscle injury, right? I've trained once and then, you know, I'm in the team. Or like when the team gets read out an hour and a half before the game, I kind of know I'm going to be playing, but they don't know yet. And then when the teams are there, you kind of see them like just sitting there. But I'd make sure I go and speak to them.
To say what? What are you saying?
Rest up, Regin. Rest up, Regin. Rest up.
What are you saying that's going to make them?
I'll be in jail in 3 weeks.
So no, just be like, you know, don't worry.
Don't worry.
There's nothing you can say.
It's probably even worse to say something.
You're
best off
saying
no.
Just bring me up there. Say yeah, that man.
I know what you feel. I know how you feel. I don't know. I can't remember.
It's a tough life, bro. It's a tough life. Go on.
Can I tell you something? Listen to this one. There was one time when it was after the World Cup, right? I had a groin problem I couldn't shake off. Every time I moved, it was just like something was doing that. End up having a hernia operation, come back after, because I'd always just force myself back as soon as I felt like I was almost ready. Sat on the bench after 3 months. We played in the Champions League, AC Milan. I sat on the bench, kicking the ball in the warm-up. So I'm sitting on the bench, knowing that the manager can't bring me on. I had to tell him, of course. But that's how much I wasn't ready to even be involved.
Mm.
Was out for another 7 months in total.
Wow.
trained once, went to Anfield to watch, and Harry asked me to play.
No.
An hour and a half before the game.
Harry, man.
Did you play?
Yeah, I played. Suarez.
Did you play well?
Yeah, 2-0, Suarez. Yeah.
You won 2-0?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. See, I mean, I'm going to say, I reckon there ain't any other centre-half other than Paul McGrath that can do that.
I was going to say, Paul McGrath's the only one.
The only ones. For all you young viewers, listeners, check out Paul McGrath. But yeah, no, Paul. I couldn't have done that. I'm telling you for a fact.
Which manager started this whole you can not train and play? Because that, to me, that's a bit mad. Like, who started that and how did that carry on?
It was put to me after my big operation. It was put to me like, because when they went into my knee, it was worse than they thought it was going to be. Then it was put to me by my physios like, so you've got 1,000 steps left. How are you going to use them? It's like, you know, you can use 70% in training, or you can, you know, maximize the gains. Lucky enough, I suppose I was able to get away with it.
But did that scare you?
Yeah. Who was the manager at the time? One day Ramos. So it started under Mourinho. Then one day Ramos come in and said, everyone's got to train. So I had to train. In the end, he saw that my knee would just swell up. And then I think somehow, I can't remember how, but somehow he'd seen the team without me, and then he'd seen kind of a team with me, and then he said, all right, you don't have to train. Right? so he let me get away with it in the end. And I always said, as soon as the day comes where I feel like I don't make a difference to the team, then I'll call it a day. But during this time, I always felt like I still, just being there, made everyone else better. So that was important to me. So it was Ramos, then it was Harry. I was lucky I had Harry again.
What was it like working with him, Harry?
Yeah, I loved him. That was our best team that we had under Harry. It was great because, talking about Modric, Van der Vaart, Adebayor was a problem.
Bad boy player. He's hard to play against.
He was one of them people that, if you're not at it, he can embarrass you as well. Bale, Modric, Van der Vaart.
Did you see Bale and Modric becoming what they became? Did you think, as soon as they made the moves, like, oh my God, wow.
Not initially, because Gareth was a left wing back, left back. He had a wand and he could run all day. So I thought he could be the best in wing back. But I didn't see him being, playing anywhere across the front three. He wouldn't have seen it. That just happened. It's nothing that he envisioned. It was something that just kind of, we saw how much he influenced the game when he was playing left wing, to the point where we just let him play wherever he felt he could do most damage in the end. And Luka come in, and I think in the Premier League, we tend to think that someone's too small if they're not, in the midfield position. So we used to play Luka off the left. And then it's only when we brought him inside, we saw just how good Luka was. And I think we thought he was a number 10 as well. And he was someone who liked to play deep. He wanted to play, get the ball off the back floor and dictate things from then. So I've seen Luka go to Anfield and play against Stevie. And we know how good Stevie is. And I've seen Luka dominate.
Give him
there
something.
As well. Wow. I've seen him dominate there as well.
See the way he said dominate, dominated him.
Yeah, but what's crazy, Steve's not even.
No. Who's the best you played with?
The way he moves.
I'm not hearing anything
outside of the boot.
Yeah.
Tell him in Modric about this.
He could roll, you give it to someone up his arse, you dummy, turn, play on the outside. Like, he was.
You see, when that balance is where you can move, could he dance? No, this is mad, isn't it? I don't know how players.
Luke had some big, strong legs.
Yeah.
He was just. But it's small, just the centre of gravity.
I don't know how they go from that on the pitch yet to being wooden on the dance floor. I don't understand it.
It's a bit like Thiago. You know, when you see Thiago, he does that fake little.
Yeah. He probably can move though, a bit of Brazilian Spanish, isn't it?
I was going to say, so are you seeing that? Obviously, you're seeing it in training, probably even more. You guys always say that you see the most damage in training. Yeah. What is he doing, Luka, in training guys?
The game's just easy. It's easy. And again, it's not he's not doing it in a flashy way. It's just class. Mm. So, you just give him the ball and you just watch his balance and the way he'll step over.
And Berbatov at the same time.
And he's putting things in the top corner outside
of his boot. I just realised that. Yeah. Do you have him and Berbatov at the same time?
Not.
Yeah.
I don't think they did. They're too silky together. That would have been too much.
Yeah.
Who's the best player you trained with? Or played? The best player you played with?
I'd have to... Luka and Gareth, Luka, like, longevity is a joke. Still doing it. Mm. But Gareth had that match winning ability. And I think Gareth was probably third best player in the world when he left Tottenham, when he left. So they're very different. They're very different. It's like Carrick, right?
Mm.
People don't realise how good he was. Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
Like, Carrick was balanced. You know what I mean? Like, I love balanced players.
Mm.
Like, they're just, I love that type of player. And I spent 18 months with him. He was a top player as well. But in terms of the best, I'd probably have to say Gareth, just because of that match winning ability.
Mm.